Okay, tonight is Monday, December 19th, or Chaf Dalet Kislev. This is the Gemara Shir on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis in Masechah Sukkah. Okay, we're on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. In the middle of the page, Esve Abaye L'Rava. Esve Abaye. The Gemara had just stated that the question was, why is it that today, if Hoshana Rabbah would come out on Shabbos, don't we take Arava on that Shabbos? First answer was, Lo Ikla, it never happens. It never happens that first day of Hoshana Rabbah comes out on Shabbos. Second answer was, oh yes, it did come out. So why don't I take it today? Because who said that in the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah was Netilah? If the mitzvah was Netilah, our walking around with the Arava might be Zechel HaMikdash. But if it's Dilma B'Zekifa, maybe the only activity that ever took place in the Mikdash was that you took the Arava and stood it up against the Mizbeach. So our practice is just stomach practice. It's nice somehow commemorating, but it's not a direct link to the activity in the Mikdash. In which case, I understand why when it comes out on Shabbos, we're not going to be doicha for just some kind of a commemoration, unless there's an absolute link to the mitzvah of Arava in the Beis HaMikdash. That we want to perpetuate, to let the tzedukim know we don't agree with them. We believe that there is such a mitzvah Arava. But if our practice is not at all going to resemble the activity that took place in the Mikdash, we would not be accomplishing much, and at the same time risk potential Chilul Shabbos. Hence, when Hoshana Rabbah does come out on Shabbos, it is not Docha Shabbos. That's where we're up to right now. Ask the Gemara, Esve Abaye. So the Gemara is going to attack this suggestion, the last suggestion, that perhaps the definition of the mitzvah of Arava is not Netila, but rather Zekifa. Esve Abaye. Lulav v'Arava Shisha v'Shiva. The Mishnah made a statement, B'Neshima Achas. Lulav and Arava are either 6 days or 7 days, depending on when Yom Tov comes out. If the first day of Sukkot comes out on Shabbos, Lulav is 7 days. If the first day of Sukkot comes out on any other day, Lulav is 6 days. And Arava, if the last day of Sukkot comes out on Shabbos, Arava is 7 days. And if any other day comes out on Shabbos, Arava is 6 days. But since the Mishnah lumped them together, we would assume, my love, kilulav, ma lulav binatila af arava binatila. Should we not be able to glean from the fact that the Mishnah lumps them together, that just as by lulav there is no doubt about it, that the definition of the mitzvah is netila, so too I would imagine that the mitzvah arava follows suit and is also binatila. In which case, our observance of the mitzvah of Arava today might be a direct link of the way the mitzvah was defined in the Beis HaMikdash. Picking it up, waving it, or doing something. The mere fact that the Mishnah links them together should indicate that that's the definition of the mitzvah of Arava. And Sister Gemara, no. Midi Iria, Favosas Azoy Gishpart, who said that that has to be that way? Ha-kidi-isei. This lulav is defined as netila. That arava is defined as zakifa. The Mishnah lumps them together not to indicate that one sheds light as to how you fulfill the other. The Mishnah lumps them together to tell you that each of them have the possibility of being observed either 6 days of Shavuos or 7 days of Shavuos, but not to communicate to us any specific inference that the mitzvah of Arava necessarily follows the mitzvah of Netila, of Lulav. And as a result, we can still maintain that last answer, that who said that the mitzvah Arava is b'netila, main mitzvah b'zkifa, in which case our practice has nothing to do with the direct link of the mitzvah, and consequently, no questions asked, it's not Doicha Shabbos. Yeah. Eisvei Abaye. Abaye continues, asks Nachakasha. B'chol yom makifin es hamizbeach pamachas v'oso hayom sheva pa'amim. The Brisa says every day they would circle the mizbeach once, and on that day, presumably Hashanah Rabbah, they were makif the mizbeach 7 times. My love be'arava. Does this Brisa not indicate that the way that the hakafa was done with the arava, in which case, how obviously would you define the mitzvah of arava? Netila. You're walking around the mizbeach. You're walking around the mizbeach 7 times. Answers the Gemara, no. No place in the Brisa that says that they did the hakafa with the arava. What is it? Belulav. They walked around the mizbeach once every day with the lulav, and on Hashanah Rabbah they walked around the mizbeach 7 times with the lulav. That's what the Gemara says so far. Asks the Gemara a very unusual question. V'ha Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Baravua Da'arava. Rav Nachman said the name of Rabba Baravua, that which they circled the mizbeach was with the arava. So why are you telling me it was with the lulav? Amalei. Who amalach barava? He thinks it was with the arava. V'ano aminach b'lulav. And I think it was the lulav. The Brisa doesn't indicate one way or the other. It's just as plausible that the netila was with this or with the lulav or with the arava. So don't ask me any kashas from Rav Nachman. You know, one Amora has a right to disagree with another Amora. If you quote to me a Braita or a Mishnah, then I have to cave in. But the mere fact that another Amoraic sage disagrees with me is of no concern whatsoever. Itmar, Rabbi Lazar Oma Balulov, Rav Shmuel Bar Nosson Oma Rav Chanina Ba'arava, V'chein Amar Rav Nachmar Abarua Ba'arava, Amale Rava le Rab Yitzchak Berei de Rabba Bar Chana Bar Uria. Rava said to Rab Yitzchak, the son of Rabba Arche, the son of Uria, Ta ve'emalach milsa me'al yisa deheva oma abuch. Come, I will tell you something very nice that I heard from your father. Ha disnan kol hayom makifin es hamizbeach pamachas. The also hayom makifin samizbeach shevapim hachi amar abuch mishmei the Rabbi Lazar belulav. Pop told me that it was belulav. Isn't that nice? So I am telling you something which I heard in the name of your father, that the hakafa was done belulav. Belulav. So let's just pause for just a second. Just for a second. Assuming that the hakafa was done with the lulav, this will now address a very famous question concerning the mitzvah of lulav in the Beis HaMikdash, day number one. I flash you back to the beginning of the third parak of Sukkah. Howie, when was that? You got your notes here? When did we start Luv HaGazel? You write the dates down also, right? When did we start Luv HaGazel? Chav Tes on the base. Put on the heat here.
Right?
What? What is that? The other notebook. Different notebook. Okay. So it's a while ago. When does this stop? That's February 1st, Lamed Hay. So that's Lamed Hay. That's six block into... So it's at least 2009 sometime. There's no doubt. Maybe even 2008. Fine. So I flash you back. Flash you back to that. Question which is posed is, how do we look at the mitzvah of lulav and mikdash? There are two ways to look at it. A, that basically the mitzvah of lulav is the same bigvulin as it is b'mikdash. Except that in gvulin, that mitzvah applies only day number one. Whereas in the mikdash, that very same mitzvah is extended for an additional 7 days. But the mahut, the essence of the mitzvah, is not at all different. Or you say no. The mitzvah of gvulin, the mitzvah of lulav b'gvulin, is one mitzvah. And the mitzvah of lulav in mikdash has nothing to do with the mitzvah of lulav. It's not that, the mitzvah of gvulin, it's not that in the mikdash you take lulav an additional 6 days. In lulav, there's a different halacha of taking lulav day number one. It's not the same mitzvah as the mitzvah of taking lulav in Tel Aviv or Bnei Brak or any place else. That's the question which we asked. Rabotai, tell me how this Gemara weighs into this discussion. And I will tell you what the practical halacha lemaisa is, even bizman hazeh. How does our Gemara weigh in to this question? Whether A, essentially the mitzvah of lulav in mikdash resembles the mitzvah of lulav bigvulin, but it's extended for an additional 7 days. Or do you say no, additional 6 days. Or it's a radically different mitzvah. You happen to use the same medium, but it's not the same mitzvah as the mitzvah that took place in Tel Aviv on day number one. How would our Gemara seem to weigh in on this issue? Of course. If our Gemara claims, according to one opinion, that the hakafa around the Mizbeach was done with the lulav, not with the arava, that demonstrates that the nitilas lulav in the mikdash has some connection to the Beis HaMikdash. If it's just that you happen to what? Extend the mitzvah that applies in Tel Aviv, why would you be walking around the mikdash with the lulav? Just 1 second. Why would you be walking around the mikdash? Why would you be circling the Mizbeach 7 times? On the 7th day, and on the 1st day, and days through 1 through 6, why would you be makif the Mizbeach? If you are makif a Mizbeach, that seems to indicate that there is some connection between the Netilas Lulav and what? And the Mikdash itself. Demanding a specific ceremony to walk in an area which is normally restricted area. You don't walk in between, you don't go to, on the other side of the Mizbeach just because you want to take a walk. You don't do that. It's called Biarei Kanis. That's entering the Mikdash for no reason at all. Even a Kohen is not allowed to walk in to the Mikdash for no reason at all. Only, maybe a Kohen Gadol can, but nobody else can. Nobody else can. So the fact that our Gemara quotes several Amoraic sages who believe that the Hakafa in Mikdash was done belulav would lead us to answer the question that opinion holds, that lulav in Mikdash is fundamentally different than lulav in Tel Aviv. But if you believe that the Hakafa was done with the Arava, in which case there is no indication that lulav in Mikdash had a special, what we would call in halachic lingo, a kiyum Mikdash. What does the Yerushalmi mean? Usmachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamim besimchas halulav hakasav medaber. What does that mean? It means whatever you do in Tel Aviv, if you're standing in the Beis HaMikdash, pick it up and that's it. But there is no kiyum unique to Mikdash. So these two opinions, whether the Hakafa was done belulav or the Hakafa was done with the Arava, would somehow shed light on that question as to the nature of the mitzvah of lulav, even day number one. Yeah. Father, goes first. Keep it out there. She's granting you. Right?
Oh, thank
yeah.
You. So the mitzvah would be, you'd say that if they did not cover them as bath, so only the Kohanim would do them.
Okay, we're going to see that a little later. The Gemara is going to talk about Kohanim, Bali Mumin are allowed to do it. And there's going to be a machloikus or rishainim. Once a Baal Mum can do it, does it mean Yisraelim as well? Or was it only Kohanim?
We're going to see. Yisraelim into that.
We're going, no, they would let them because the mitzvah is to do so.
So that would be a special time of the year. Then.
Correct. That every Jew would have an opportunity, perhaps the only time of the year, that a Jew could walk inside, and Israel could walk on the other side of the Mizbeach. Probably the only time of the year. I can't think of another time that a Yisrael would be allowed inside of the Mizbeach, on the inside of the Mizbeach. On the outside of the Mizbeach, he'd be facing in the Azara, in the Esras Nashim, facing, that happens all the time. But to go on the other side of the Mizbeach, that's between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we'd never see that. That would be the only time of the year.
Well, you didn't talk about, I mean, you remember the Mishnah which talks about that they had to... even tire the clay of Mikdash after, it wasn't after Sukkot.
Right. After every Chag. That's the Mishnah Chagig. We hear it every Siyam.
So,
right? Every kid makes a Siyam on Seder Tahara. On Seder Moed, we hear that Mishnah. Every Yom Tov. Correct. That would support it. That would support it. That the Am HaOretz touched the Mizbeach, and therefore they have to be mitire it after Yom Tov. That's correct. What? No, it says Olik. It says the Shulchan, correct? But the Shulchan is opposite the Mizbeach. Correct. That's the other excuse, correct? But no, there's also the Mizbeach. In fact, whether it's Mechuba Lekarka, remember that last Mishnah, Rabbi Leza, Meneshehu Mitzuper, so it's not Mekabotoma, you know? Exactly, last Mishnah Chagiga, we heard every seeing. Cut. Yeah.
So, but I feel like we can't have it both ways. Like using Hakafa to show that Arav, that it's just a form of that. If Aravot are used Hakafa just to show, then we
and it sheds no light on Lulav.
So then it just shows that like any Hakafa, it's not like any special. It's not a special mitzvah. It's just a form of the Tila. So it's like a specialized.
No, but where are you going?
Similar.
Well, you could take it. You could take the Netila standing on the Harabayas.
Yeah, but if it's just a specialized Mikdash Netila, that doesn't seem like it's fundamentally different than something that's done out of the Mikdash.
The requirement to walk around the Mizbeach does shed light that it is something different. Why would you have to allow a Jew who, under ordinary circumstances, is never permitted in that location suddenly to allow him just to pick up the lulav, pick up their other, let him stand outside and do it? Where he's allowed to be, in the Esras Nashim.
Right, I mean, obviously it's different, but we're using Hakafa to show that Arava, that the mitzvah of Arava is Netila
No. That's a separate, I'm not talking about Netila Arava. I'm talking about, according to the opinion, that it was Lulav.
But we're talking about the same thing. That's
correct.
What I'm saying. So you're saying that you would learn something different from Hakafa itself, even though it's the same action, whether it was done with Arava?
No, if it was Arava, I would say Arava is the Kiyum Mikdash. And Bizman Azeh, all we do is have a Zechel HaMikdash. We walk around with an Arava, or take an Arava, to commemorate the Netila that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Because they never actually placed the Arava on the Mizbeach. There was no Zekifas of the Arava. They took the Arava and walked around the Mikdash. There's no doubt that either Arava or Lulav was a Kiyum and Mikdash. There's no doubt. Here comes the difference if we should assume that this is the case. Here is my case. You are in Yerushalayim or HaKodesh, but not in the Old City. Okay? You're in the Larom. Okay? For Yantif. Okay, fine. And you decided you're going to the Beit HaKnesset HaGadol, you're going to listen to Chaim Adler Davin, and you said, Hallel with Chaim Adler, you did in Anuman. Okay? So was I Mekayin the mitzvah with the Kachtam Lechem on the first day of Yom? Of course. Is there a mitzvah upon me to go to the Har HaBayis and to take lulav a second time. Mm-hmm. Is there a mitzvah upon me? Hold on, I'll get to Bisman HaNazeh in a second. I'm talking about Bisman HaMikdash first. Is there a mitzvah to go to the Har HaVayis on the first day of Yom Tov, even though I have already taken the lulav day number one in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, but not in the Old City, and I say the Old City for a reason, because it'll come to Bisman HaZeh, and should I do it or not? So if you believe that the mitzvah in Mikdash is fundamentally the exact same mitzvah that takes place B'Gvulin, except that it's extended for six additional days, there would be absolutely no reason to expect that somebody should pick up his lulav and esrog, walk to the Har HaBayis to repeat a mitzvah which he has already fulfilled in the Beit HaKnesset HaGadol. Makes no sense. But if netilah was done in the Mikdash belulav, therefore it now has a new dimension, a new kiyum mitzvah. Therefore I should perhaps make an effort. You don't violate anything, but if you don't, but there's certainly an opportunity to be mekayim another mitzvah, the mitzvah of netilas arava and netilas lulav and mikdash, and I will now walk around that mizbeach with my lulav.
But you're also your mitzvah of lulav.
Of ulakachtem lochem b'yoyim arishon. But I was not yet fulfilled the mitzvah of usmachtem lefnei Hashem alakechem shivas yam, because it's a different mitzvah. Today the difference would be L'shitas HaRambam. Remember, I showed you the Rambam in Perush HaMishnayis, which he does not agree in Mishnah Torah, but in Perush HaMishnayis, the Rambam wrote black on white that the mitzvah in Mikdash is not limited to Mikdash. It's all of Yerushalayim. As opposed to Shofar, which the Rambam not only included in Mishnah in Perush HaMishnayis, when he was 18 years old, but even when he was 44 and he wrote Mishneh Torah, the Rambam writes, Rosh Hashanah Shecholias B'Shabbos, you sound the shofar not only in the Mikdash the way the Mishnah says it, but all of Yerushalayim is considered Mikdash. So if today, if that would be correct, and we accept the Rambam Shita, that Kedushas HaMikdash is still in effect, why? The second Kiddushas Eretz HaMikdash never was Chorei. The Rambam's famous three words, Shechina Eino B'Teila. You can't destroy the Shechina. You can destroy the building. You can't destroy the Shechina. Today, Bisman HaZeh, there would be a Kiyum HaMitzvah, might even be Doraisa, after you were Mekayim the Mitzvah in the Beit HaKnesset HaGadol, to take your little shvatzir into the Old City, within the walls of Yerushalayim, and take the lulav a second time, to be mekayim the mitzvah in Mikdash. To be mekayim the mitzvah in Mikdash. Now, I can understand why the Rambam did not formulate this in Mishnah Torah. Because if you're not going to go on the Har HaBayis and walk around the Mizbeach, you know, in what way would Yerushalayim distinguish itself as a separate mitzvah? If you go on the Har HaBayis and you walk around the Mizbeach, I understand it. But the mere fact that you're standing in the Old City, that makes it a different mitzvah? That would be a little difficult. That's perhaps the reason why the Rambam failed to code it l'halacha l'maisa in Mishnah Torah. So that would be a difference. There are people today who do this exactly what I said. At every day of Yom Tov, every day, no matter where they live, they come to the Old City, and those who go on the Har HaBayis go on the Har HaBayis, and do so, take it as the Zeichel HaMikdash, to in effect fulfill the mitzvah midrabban, the mitzvah midrabbanan, to remember lulav and mikdash as a key of mikdash. But if the netilah was done the arava, then it would stand to reason that the mitzvah in Mikdash does not necessarily follow the footsteps of the mitzvah in Tel Aviv. It's just an extension, and as a result, it would make no sense on day number one. Day number two, it would make sense, because on day number two in Tel Aviv, you're not taking the lulav. It's not on Mikdash. The only place you'll take it is in the Beis HaMikdash. So it would make sense. Where did we discuss this? On the Afkhaftat, beginning of Lulav HaGazel, whether all of the psulim listed in the Mishnah about a lulav, though they apply to the lulav of Mikdash. What psulin does the Mishnah tell us? Lulav hayavish, a dried out lulav is possible. A stolen lulav is possible. Do all these, and then the Mishnah has 50 other psulim. Miktam Roisha, the top is cut, the leaves are split, 60,000 psulim. Psulim for the lulav, for the Elarava, the Hadassim, the Esrog. Do any of these carry over to the Beis HaMikdash? The answer is, if it's simply an extension of the mitzvah, in all logical, then logically, yes, because it's the same mitzvah. If it's a separate mitzvah, you need not claim that all of the details of the mitzvah of lulav apply in mikdash. All you need is the species, the min, but you don't necessarily need everything that. So this Gemara will shed light on that particular halacha. However, there is one difficulty with this conclusion. It's based on a Gemara in Maseches Me'ilah. We'll have it in the Daf Yomi shortly. And Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, in Maseches Me'ilah, the Gemara says, Arava shebemikdash lo nehenin velo moalin bo. Arava in the Mikdash, you are not permitted to derive any personal benefit from it, but if you do, you don't violate the Isser of Me'ilah. Me'ilah means that if you derive benefit from something that belongs to the Mikdash, you are considered a thief from Hekdash. That's what you consider. A thief from Hekdash. It's a halacha in Mikdash, Me'ilah. Now, let me ask you this. If I were to derive benefit from a piece of matzah in the Beis HaMikdash, would I need a Gemara in Me'ilah to tell me that what? They don't violate this in Me'ilah? Of course not. You only need a statement in the Gemara when there would have been a Hava Amina, that there would be an Issa Me'ilah. Why should there be an Issa Me'ilah? Because it's part of the ritual tekes that takes place in the Mikdash. So just as if I dedicate a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, and before I slaughtered it, I put my books on it, and you know, just to rest, I leaned on it, I violate the Issa Me'ilah. Subject to punishment by a lav. If it's done b'shoigeg, you bring a keren, a chaymesh, and a korban asham. It's called asham me'ilot. Asham me'ilot. If there is such a possibility, based on our Gemara, that if the netila was done with the lulav, it's a halacha mikdash, what should the Gemara and me'ilah have said as well? Not only arava shebemikdash ein nehenin v'lo mo'alin bo, should have said lulav shebemikdash ein nehenin v'lo mo'alin bo.
It's yours.
No, it means it has to be yours.
It's ein nehenin
for the mitzvah.
What does ein nehenin mean?
Means you can't derive personal benefit from it. Personal benefit.
But if it's yours, it's not hektish, correct?
Correct. No, it could belong. There are things that. No, it has to belong to you, but since it's true, a korban also has to belong to you. Adam ki yakriv mikem. What do we learn out of mikem? It can't be stolen.
But
same thing as lachat.
Can you mention a rule with a rule of hektish?
No.
Not the first thing.
That's because it's not belong to you.
No, that's what I'm saying. So that's why you can't, the Gora can't say you can't have a nanah.
Why not?
It has to be yours, mikem the mitzvah, the rule of.
A korban has to be yours also, and the Gemara says that there is me'ilah.
But for lekachta lachem, you have to have your lulav.
There's no difference between lekachta lachem and adam ki yakriv mikem. The same absolute ownership has to exist.
Didn't we decide that one of the proofs of ownership is you can have the hanah from it? But we decided that we can't for a vote over because you have to be able to have hanah from it, right?
That's,
you can't be nisal hanah on it.
What?
One of the things we said, criteria, you can't have nisal hanah on a lulav. To show it's yours.
That's correct.
So the Mishnah would say you can't have another.
No, but that's why the Gemara would say lo malalim bo. Why does the Gemara say that a Rava can do that? Okay, maybe that would be the answer. So maybe that's the counter. But if you wanted to claim that Lula in Mikdash is that way,
And you can say that the rest of the Gemara is talking about lulav not having in the Mikdash. All of the Gemaras that you're quoting are talking about lulav in Gvulin.
We have a case of one of the Gvulin, you have to make sure you have to give it to somebody else. Right, you brought to make some Mikdash, you have to give it to somebody else, it has to be theirs. Obviously, they have enough from it then. I mean, you can't, you know.
No. So the question is, which lulav? That could just be the mitzvah of Arba Minim, which they took the mitzvah of the Kachta, which happened to be in the Mikdash. Not necessarily the lulav which you were makif the Mizbeach. Could be. I hear your point.
So that's the fact that the Gemara does not have a havamina of stating in Me'ilah that this is the halacha. Under those circumstances, it would somehow say Arava, no doubt, is integrally related to the Mikdash. Lulav, I'm not 100% sure. I'm again weiter. Esvei. The Gemara further challenges. Lulav docha es haShabbos b'tchiloso v'arava b'sofo. Lulav overrides the Yom Tov of Sukkot at the beginning, first day of Yom Tov, and arava overrides the Shabbos at the end on Hoshana Rab. Pamachas chal shvi'i shel arava lios b'Shabbos. Once upon a time, Hoshana Rab came out on Shabbos. The Heviyu Marbio Shel Arava Meir of Shabbos, and they brought bundles of Arava on Friday, the Hinichom Ba'azara, and they placed them in the Azara. The Hekiru Bohen Baitusin, and the Baitusin, who denied the mitzvah Arava, saw what was going on. The Notlum, and they took all of the Aravot. V'kivshum tachas avanim. They hid them on the stones on the Harabayit someplace. Okay? L'machar hekiru bahen am ha'aretz. The lay people loyal to the Prushim recognized what they had done. V'shamtum mitachas avanim. And they pulled the Aravos out from underneath the stones. V'heviyum Hakohanim, and the Kohanim then took them, v'zokfum b'tzidei hamizbeach. And what did they do with the aravos? They stood them up, leaned them up against the mizbeach. Why did the baitusim do all of this? Lefi she'ein baitusim modim shechibut arava doches haShabbos. Because the Baitusim don't agree that Chibud Arava is Doicha Shabbos.
What Chibud Arava means?
That's what you and me think. That's not what Rashi's going to say. Look at the Gemara's conclusion. Alma b'netilahi. You see from this Braisa that what? That the Mitzvah Arava is b'netila. And not b'zakifa. Whoa. How do you prove anything from this Braisa? What did the Braisa say? Ameoretz came and took it out of what? Out of the ground underneath the stones. Kohanim took it. V'zok v'man mizbeach. V'fi she'ein sadut baitu simon al chibut arava. Take a look at Rashi. Let's take a look at Rashi. B'dibur hamaschel v'hevi'um hakohanim v'zok fum. Take a look at Rashi. Critical Rashi, a machloikis Rashi in the Ramba. Critical machloikis, critical Rashi. Let's read the Rashi. Ve'evium hakohanim v'zokfum. Point number one. Avol Yisrael lo haya nichnas ben ulam lemizbeach. So Michael, right away, Rashi says, only the Kohanim do netilas arava. Bnei Yisrael never do something. Never. Umidiktani chibut arava, and since the Braisa used the expression that the Baitusim do not acknowledge chibut arava, michlal debiyad notlinosa. From here, I prove that what did you do? You carried it with your hand. Uminaanin umakifin ba hakohanim esamizbech biragleim. V'achakach zokfinosa. Says Rashi, what does chibut mean? just the opposite of we thought. We think that chibut means to bang. Because in the Siddur, it says that chibut arava, what? Is at the end, clopping off the ground. And that's what's written, that little Ribbono Shlomo Yehi Ratzon at the end. Because they didn't accept Rashi's interpretation. Rashi never heard of clopping aravas. Never heard of it. What do? The Kohanim take the aravim. Number one, they do netila. Netila probably will be defined in one of two ways. Either simply picking it up, or doing nanuim. The way we extend our definition of ulakachdem. That's number two. Then, they walked around the mizbeach. Then, they took it at the end and placed it against the mizbeach. So here, Rashi says, how can anybody say that the entire essence of the mitzvah of Arava is only what? Is only zakifa, when it states quite clearly here that part and parcel of the mitzvah was the mitzvah of Netila?
We say Netila and Hakafa?
Yeah, at Netila and Hakafa. Answers the Gemara, you're right, Tiyufta. It's a good question against all of those who claim that the Hakafa took place with the Lulav. Because this brisa, even though it doesn't say black and white, it says that they took, the way Rashi interprets, chibut arava, chibut is netila. Okay.
The brisa says the Kohanim took him out from, they took him from the Amei Aretz and they stood him up there. Doesn't say they actually did a kafah.
But Rashi says the word chibut means netila.
In the brisa itself, what are the
it doesn't say anything. But it says, Lefi Shahaya Baitusin Lohaya Modin Bechipat Arava. Says Rashi, what is Chibat Arava? Netila. And then at the end it was Zokev. You're right, the original state of the Brisa said nothing of the sort. Nothing of the sort. But that's how Rashi interpreted the last phrase of the Brisa. Yes.
Is there some kind of implication that they did something this year different than other years, that they wanted to make a point? No, it says it, there was like a whole story here. They hid the aravos, and then after the Amei Aretz
found it.
Then the Kohanim did what they did.
No, the
what
story is said
what
that.
What would happen if this whole thing didn't happen?
So they would have taken it right or regularly. They would not have to discover them. They would take the aravos that were brought on Friday, and what did they do? The Gemara is just telling a story that happened. That's all. A story that happened. See, if Yontif, if Hashanah Rabbah wasn't Shabbos, then none of this, they wouldn't have to bring them there early, and they wouldn't be hanging around for the Baitusim to come and what? Hide. Here they were brought on Friday, and it's unbelievable how the Baitusim just sneak their way into the Mikdash, take all the Aravos and hide them someplace. If it was a Tuesday, there's nothing to worry about. You bring the Aravos Tuesday morning, and the Kahanim go right away and use it right away.
Hey, isn't the point that they put them on the rack of the Avonim Muktzah? So this way they wouldn't say that the mitzvah was...
Correct! That is correct! Every Rishon says, good point, that here there is an Issa Derabanan of moving Muktzah, but because of the mitzvah d'oraisa, they told him, you move those stones, buddy. Precisely, that was running to the Baitusim. That if it's Muktzah, the Jew will not take it.
The Kohanim did, it was Yamei Aretz. I mean, it was, in other words, the Kohanim knew the halacha.
No, but every Rishon says that the Yamei Aretz did. That was, again, it was the story, it was the fact.
Okay, so it wasn't significant.
No, absolutely. Nobody was critical of the Yamei Aretz for violating the Issa Muktzah. It might apply. Ein Shvus B'Mikdash will often apply for a Kiyum Mikdash. No doubt about it. Now, the only question would merge, according to Rashi, who clearly believes that this brisa supports the claim that what was done with the arava, the netila was the hakafa was done with what? Arava, not the lulav. This brisa is confirming it, and that's how Rashi interpreted the brisa. It would be somewhat difficult that the Tur in Simon Tuf Reish Samach happens to cite Rashi that somebody who does not have a lulav in shul today should specifically not be makif with his arava. Not be makif with his arava. Why not? If the mikdash, the netila, was the hakafa was done by arava, so if, okay, we might say that what, we paskin that the hakafa was done by lulav. But if somebody doesn't have a lulav, at least let him participate in the hakafa and fulfill the mitzvah of Hakafa according to Rashi, the Torah specifically writes, B'shem Rashi, do not let him do anything. You don't have a lulav, sit there like a klutz. Do not walk around at all. It would be somewhat odd that that should be the case. Now let's take a look at the Rambam. Please take a look at the first Rambam, which is Hilchos Lulav. Hilchos Lulav. Says the Rambam in Halacha Chaf Aleph. Ketzad Haisa Mitzvasa. In Halacha Chaf, the Rambam says, Halacha L'mayshim Yisina Shemavin B'mikdash Arava Acheretz Chutz Me'arava Shebemikdash. Halacha Z'arava Shebelulav. So we know there's a Halacha L'mayshim Yisina that in addition to the Arava which you place in your lulav, you have to take a separate mitzvah. Not like some people I once saw in shul, instead of spending the $5 on their rubbers, so they pulled it out of their lulav. Says, well, I read it was the kind of mitzvah lulav, and take it out. No, it has to be a separate bunch of our rubbers. Ketzad haisa mitzvasa in halacha chalfam. B'chol yom v'yom mishivas hayomim hayu mevin murbios shel arava v'zokfin osan al tzedadei hamizbeach. The Roshayan Kifufin al Gabi Hamizbeach. First thing they did was take the Aravos and what? Lean them against the Mizbeach, and their tips literally draped over the Mizbeach. Ube'et Shehoyu Mevi'in Osa, Visodrin Osa, and at the time when they brought it and placed it against the Mizbeach, Tokin Umeirian Vitokin. They sounded the chatzoitzos. We'll learn this later on in the fifth part. Now that's certainly an indication that it's a kiyum mikdash, because chatzoitzos was something which took place specifically in the mikdash. It's a pasuk in Parshas Baalayscha. We say that pasuk on Rosh Hashanah during Shaifas. Over Yom Simchasem, over Mayadechem, over Rosh Echadchem, uskatem b'chatzoitzos al oloseichem v'al zivchei chshamecha. Right. One of the reasons the Rav didn't like that pasuk, because it's talking about chatzoitzros and not shayfos. So what's it doing in the machzor for Rosh Hashanah? Therefore, he added another pasuk so that you can have 10 pesukim of shayfa. That was the Rav's thing. He says, "How can this pasuk be?" But everybody else doesn't say that. Everybody else says this pasuk of Yom Simchas from the Mayadeh. Fine. Now look at Halacha Chabez. Ketzad hayu osin osa, if it was on Shabbos, mevi'in osa me'erev Shabbos l'mikdash, u'menichin osa begigiyah shel zahav, kidei shelo yichmishu ha'alim. They placed them in bowls of gold so that the leaves will not wilt. U'lemachar zokfin osa agabe ha'mizbeach, Uba'in ha'am v'lokchin mimena v'noklin osa k'derach shosin b'chol yom. So now tell me what the Rambam says. How is the mitzvah rabba performed the mikdash? Just the opposite the order opposite of Rashi. Rashi says, what did you do? Netila, hakafa, zakifa. And who did it? Only the Kohan, says the black and white. Rambam says, they placed, first thing was Zekifa. First you place the Aravos on the Mizbeach, then from the Mizbeach, what did they do? Everybody came and took it. Everybody came. Not only the Kohanim, but everybody. Why did the Rambam reverse the order? Why did the Rambam feel that first has to become the Zekifa HaMizbeach? Why? What demonstration does he want to make? What demonstrative statement is accomplished by reversing the order from Rashi? That when you take the lula, the arava, this is a mikdash arava. This is not the arava that looks like, that happens to be part of the arba minim, just happens to be an arava. This is an arava of the mikdash. How do I know? Because every single lulav that you and me come in contact with, before we picked it up, where was it? It was already draping the mizbeach. So the Rambam believed that the hakafas arava is undoubtedly a key of mikdash, you blow chatzotzros, and in order to demonstrate that, nobody picks up an arava until it's already been draped on the mizbeach. Plus, every member of Klal Yisrael will take
on the seventh day.
Now here he's talking the seventh day. Here he's talking the seventh day. What? I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Okay. Yep. Special halacha of the seventh day. But how will a Jew now go around the Mizbeah? So we'll see later on. The Rambam will learn the halacha of Balimum. That if a Kohen with a blemish, who is typically disqualified from the Avodah, and is not permitted to enter the Mizbeah because of his blemish, if he's allowed to go around, that's just the code name that the Isur is removed for everybody who is not a full-fledged Kohen. That includes Levi and Israelim as well. So that's the Rambam's Shita in this regard, somewhat different than Rashi's interpretation. Different than Rambam's interpretation.
And he also defined Chovek like we do. Later on, he talks about Chovek that you take in.
What? Later on, the Rambam says... Yes, the Rambam calls Chavata what we call Chavata. That's correct. Afterwards, they would bang it on the ground, right?
Yeah. And he also says that in the Lachat that he would circle his Be'ah for the Hula.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct. All the days.
Right.
B'chol yom v'yom ayam akifin esam esbe'ah
pelulav. Is that a separate... That's not the Lachat of a Rabbah. So that's not a separate key. Is that the key of Lulav in the Mikdash?
Key of Lulav in the Mikdash. And on the seventh day, everybody was makif as well with the arava, just on the seventh day. Yeah. Okay. Let me get invited. Ask the Gemara, ve'elo nitchu, if we've just proven conclusively that the definition of the mitzvah happens to be netila, so then why don't we in Chutz La'aretz take the lulav, take the arav as well when Hashanah Rabbah comes out on Shabbos? Why only in Eretz Yisrael? Answers the Gemara, Kevan da'anan lo dechinan, inu nami lo dachi. Since why in Eretz Yisrael did they not today, when they were still Mekadesh al-Pi Re'iyah, why didn't they go ahead and what? And take Arava on Hoshana Rabbah?
Even on Shabbos.
Answers to Gemara, since we in Chutz La'aretz don't, they don't do so either. Ask the Gemara, V'hayam tov harishon delidan lo dachi, ulididu dachi. But the first day of Sukkot, in Eretz Yisrael, they did take the lulav on Shabbos. And in Bavel, they did not. So here I told you, on Daf Yom Gan, Gemara's going to recant. Amri, answer, no. Lidetu nami lo dachi. Not only is it not doche in Chutz La'aretz, where they did not know of the Kfiyah D'Yarcha, but they did not even do it in Eretz Yisrael, even though they know darn well when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei was and when Sukkot was. Ve'elokasha hanitarte. So then, if you claim that they were not doche, how does one understand the brisa which says that when the first day of Sukkot came out on Shabbos in Tel Aviv, where did everybody bring their lulav and erev Shabbos? Where did they bring?
To the Beit Knesset.
Ve'elokasha hanitarte. The Tanachada, we learned one brisa. Kolom olichinis lulavein laharabayis. V'tanya idach, we saw this already. Lebeit HaKnesset, umitartzinon, kan bizmeisam ignesh hayakayam, kan bizman shebeisam ignesh hayakayam. So that shows that what? That in Eretz Yisrael, they did take lulav in Eretz Yisrael after the Churban Habayis, where did they take it? In the Beit Knesset? Answers to Gemara Loi. Edi v'edi bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim. Both prices are talking about only bizman hamikdash v'loi kashim. Kan b'mikdash, kan b'gvulim. If you happen to be in Yerushalayim Eir HaKodesh on the first day of Yantiv, when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, then you took Arba Minim. But if you were in Tel Aviv on the first day of Yantiv, what happened? Where did you bring your lulav on the first day of Shabbos? For the Beit Knesset. But after Churban Habayis, once they eliminated lulav in Chutz Laaretz, because they did not know Kfiyah D'Archa, they did not take it well, where? In Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because of Loises Kaidim. They did not want to have two separate practices as a result of two diverse communities. Eretz Yisrael does it and Chutz Laaretz does it. That's the standard answer given by all Rishonim. The Pasuk writes in Parshas Re, Loises go to do. Even though the simple pshat has nothing to do with making different groups. Simple pshat means don't scratch yourself al hames, and don't make yourself bald. That's the pasuk. Lo sasgo dudu v'lo tasimu karcha al hames. So it means don't scratch yourself excessively to bleed for a man, and don't pull out your hair as an excessive form of grieving. Chazal darshin lo tasgo dudu al ta'asu agudas agudas. Don't make Torah Gmechse Kishtei Torahs, like there are two Torahs. So what question do you have to ask? Once the Gemara said there's got to be uniformity between Chutz Laaretz and Eretz Yisrael, what question do you have to ask? What? No.
Why don't we follow
it? No, follow a sharper question. What did the Gemara say Bizman HaMikdash? Where did they take lulav bizman hamikdash in Tel Aviv? In the Beit Knesset on Shabbos. Did they take it in Tignet? No. Why not? Because they didn't know Kfiyah D'Archa, and they're not going to allow taking a lulav when potentially you might be desecrating the Shabbos and not even be guaranteed to fulfill the mitzvah. So the question will be, Lamancha, if post Churban, when Kviya D'Archa is still going on, there you will suddenly be concerned with what? That there should be uniformity of practice. And even though they know exactly when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei was in Eretz Yisrael, they will not allow what? They will not allow... they will allow it in Eretz Yisrael, but not allow it in Chutz Laaretz. And 2 seconds later, you turn around, that post-Churban, when there is still a difference. In Eretz Yisrael, they know very well when Rosh Chodesh is. And in the Chutz Laaretz, you don't know when Rosh Chodesh is. So now all of a sudden, we're going to maintain a uniform practice. Why is the concern for uniformity only a concern post-Churban, but the concern for uniformity is not a concern prior during Beis HaMikdash HaYikar? Why will we tolerate agudos agudos, and why will we not tolerate agudos agudos post-Churban? Why not? Why not? So take a look at Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Bigvulin. Bigvulin. Rashi's trying to answer. Bigvulin. Molichin lebeis hakneses. Vikulu bizman habayis. Both brises are talking about only bizman habayis. They have a kulu be'aretz, usmuchim lios bezdin, v'yodim emas hukva hachodesh. So they know exactly in Eretz Yisrael when the chodesh has been declared. Aval ata mishicharav beis hamikdash, ein lulav doicha shabbos afilu b'nei Eretz Yisrael. Why not? You mean to tell me right after the Churban HaMikdash that was the end of the Sanhedrin? You can't say that. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry knows that after the Sanhedrin was exiled from Yerushalayim, the Sanhedrin remained intact. Where? in a variety of cities. Yavne, Usha, Tzipore. You all go to the tours of the north and you go see those cities where the Sanhedrin wandered to. And they were Mekadosh the Chodesh al pi Re'iyah. I once told you the Rambam Shita was that they were Mekadosh the Chodesh al pi Re'iyah until the time of Abaye and Rava. That's the 4th century. So how does Rashi answer the question? Why Bizman HaMikdash they knew Kviyas HaChodesh so we can be Darch in Eretz Yisrael even though not for goes. And suddenly post-Churban, oh, we can't. Have to have a uniform practice. Why? What is the difference? What is the difference? And for this, I have to stop a little early. I have to come back next week. We'll continue with this. And so hold on to this sheet. I want to show you another Rambam. And I'm going to use an interesting Rambam to explain Rashi and then show you how Rambam didn't agree with this himself. We'll stop here, continue next of us. What? Okay, next week, December 26th, we're on. Regular Monday night. Regular Monday night.